Bhagavad Gita as it is, 9th chapter, text 31. Kshipram bhavati dharmadma shashvach chantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Well, we need to look at the previous verse for context. Lord Krishna says, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. Now, he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Purport. This should not be misunderstood. In the 7th chapter, the Lord says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. One who is not a devotee of the Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. The question remains then, how can a person engaged in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the 7th chapter, who never come to the devotional service of the Lord, have no good qualifications, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, a devotee who is engaged in the 9 kinds of devotional service is engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here there is no such condition, because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee, due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. Om Agyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam. Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Shcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Api chet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyaha sadhureva samantabhya samyak vyavasito hi saha kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim nigacchati kauntya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Some interesting issues are raised in these verses. First is that Srila Prabhupada says that a person who's not engaged in devotional service to the Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. This is a statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura Arava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna manorate nasati tavatopi. A person who's engaged in devotional service of the Lord is expected to have all good qualities, all the godly qualities. And a person who's not engaged in the service of the Lord, kuto mahatguna, what good qualities does he have? Manoratena asati dhavatobihi. I think we need to move up a little more because more people have come. We'll have some togetherness here. Hare Krishna. Hare Manoratena asati. Asati means unchaste. Asat, asati. The mind is meant for thinking of God, thinking of the Supreme Lord. But the person who's not a devotee of the Lord, please don't take photos now. It's distracting. Thank you. A person who's not a devotee of the Lord will be thinking about other things. What will he be thinking about? He'll be thinking about exploiting Krishna's energy. Sarvaloka Maheshram, the Supreme Lord, is the true owner and enjoyer of everything. And a person engaged in the service of the Lord will be thinking of how to engage everything in the Lord's service. His own body, his mind, his words, he wants to engage in Krishna's service. And whatever he receives, he wants to use in Krishna consciousness, for the service of Krishna. But a person who's not a Krishna devotee has no such objective. What is his objective? Generally, he's thinking, how can I enjoy, how can I control? He's thinking, this is mine. He's thinking, I'm this body. I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm this and that, I'm Jones, I'm Smith, I'm Patel, I'm whatever. And in relation to this body, this is my wife, these are my children, this is my house, this is my money, this is my so many cars, this is my VCR, this is my this, this is my that. He forgets that he's spirit soul. He forgets that he's only on the scene for a short while. He forgets that everything is Krishna's property. He thinks whatever he can get is his. That means the basic principle of his existence is wrong. The first operation in summing up the numbers is wrong. So how will the final sum come out right? 2 plus 2 equals 7. After that, whatever else you do with your numbers is going to come out wrong. His starting premise is wrong. His starting premise is that life is meant for sense gratification, for the enjoyment of material comfort. And he doesn't recognize that it's Krishna's property. That means he's a thief. He wants to take Krishna's property and, without acknowledging that it's Krishna's property, get as much as he can for himself and enjoy. That means he's a thief. That's what any thief does. You have some money. I don't want to acknowledge that it's your money. I'll just pick your pocket, and now it's my money. So, yo bhunkte stenae, so people are thieves. But they're educated thieves, they're intelligent thieves, they're polite thieves, they're generous thieves, they share with their friends. After they pick your pocket, they share your money with their family members and friends. They're witty, they're so many good qualities. But what is the use of all those good qualities when they're thieves? You meet a gentleman, he's well-dressed, he's well-educated, he's well-spoken, he's quick to understand things, he's good at business, he's generous, and is the head of the local mafia. So what is the use of all those other good qualities when basically he's a mobster? Therefore Krishna says, Bhagavatam says, Kato Mahaguna. What good qualities does he have? He has no good qualities. Because the basic principle is wrong. The basic idea is, let me enjoy Krishna's property as if it were my own. And a devotee has the right understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. And therefore he's rightly situated. But sometimes there may be some contradiction in the life of a devotee. He may do something wrong, or sudurachara, something very wrong. And still Krishna says, we have to consider him saintly. Why? Because the basic principle is right. Simply some mistake is there. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the spiritual masters in our line, explains that generally spiritual life and material life are meant to go parallel. We have our spiritual cultivation, and we mold our material affairs in such a way that they're congenial to our spiritual life, so that everything's going down one path, one direction. But sometimes our spiritual endeavors and our material background may cross due to some past habits or past bad association. There may be some problem in the life of a devotee, and under certain circumstances, he may get in trouble. Suppose someone is a devotee, but he had some... Well, Ajamil is the good example. He was a devotee, but while he was collecting firewood for his father, he happened to see one low-class Shudra, low-class man, kissing and embracing and making love with a low-class woman. They were both drunk, and you can imagine, you know, some clothes here and some clothes there, and so his mind became disturbed, and he became he lost his spiritual purity. He became attracted to that prostitute, and so many things happened. He left his wife, and everything became a mess. because the tendency is there for material attraction. And under those circumstances, seeing such a scene, his mind was disturbed. It wasn't parallel to his spiritual path. It was crossing, like a skunk cat crossing your path. It crossed his path. So he was set off course. But by Krishna's grace, at the end, he was saved. Although he did so many low things, he had named his youngest son Narayan. So at the time of his death, he was calling for his son, Narayan, Narayan. And because he was calling the name of Narayan, Narayan Krishna protected him. The Yamadutas, the agents of Yamaraj, who punishes the sinful, had come for him. But the agents of Lord Narayan challenged them. You don't know, this person is sinless. You don't know who to punish. They took out their list. They said, look, he's done so many things. And they said, no. He's off limits for you, because he's a devotee of the Lord. Sometimes that happens in the country also. You know, some person does something wrong, but because he's a war hero, because he's dedicated his life for his country, then it's, you know, they set it aside. It's just like a little, it's considered that he did so much for his country. So if he, you know, smashed a barroom window or whatever it was, we'll make some arrangement and he won't get in trouble. Because he's dedicated himself. Something like that. So Krishna, therefore it's said that a devotee and a non-devotee are not on the same platform. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, it's said that someone may take up Krishna consciousness or he may give up his material affairs. Chaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam bhadera. He may give up his other whatever duties for the sake of serving Krishna. Bhajan apakvota tatopade yadi. But on account of being immature in the process, he may fall down. Then Narad Muni says, but what's the wrong for him? It's still better. It's still better than the person who never did anything for Krishna consciousness. The person who's never done anything, never come to Krishna consciousness, what is that it said? On Shakespeare, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Is that Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Better to have loved than lost. In other words, you'd never loved. You're nothing. Well, he loved Krishna. Somehow he lost it for some time. But Krishna says it's never lost. What is that? Pratyavayo navidyate. Whatever one is... Progress when it's made, it can never really be lost. Material progress, it'll all be lost. At the time of death, everything's taken away, if not before. But spiritually, whatever we get is our permanent credit. It may be interrupted, but it's not lost. Elsewhere in the sixth chapter, Arjuna asks, what about the person? So he's concerned. What if I take up this process of bhakti yoga and then I don't make it? I fail. Then I'm nowhere. I'm not advanced in material life because I didn't follow the material path. And I'm not advanced in spiritual life because I fell down. Then I'm nowhere. I'm neither up here nor up there. I'm a loser. Krishna says, no, you're not the loser. Because whatever progress you've made spiritually is your permanent asset. This one life is not everything. I get something in this one life, materially speaking. But at the time of death, it's all wiped out. Suppose I become a PhD in this life. My next life, I'm still born as a screaming little kid. Materially, I may be a millionaire. Next life, I may be nothing. But spiritually, whatever progress one has made stays with me. Krishna says, even if one falls down from the yoga system, in his next life he takes a fortunate birth, either in a wealthy family or a spiritually advanced family, and he automatically becomes attracted to spiritual life again, as if helplessly drawn to it, automatically attracted. Then he, again, picks up from where he left off. If he'd advanced to 30%, he starts from 31. If he'd advanced to 80%, he starts from 81. Not like material life, where we start again from nothing. He continues. Then he makes further progress, that finally he attains the perfection. He attains perfection. So therefore, Narad says that even if he falls down due to immaturity, there's no loss for him. In this very life, he may pick it up, and that's indicated here. Kshipram bhavati dharma. Even if a devotee deviates from the spiritual life, even if he does something very wrong, kshipram, very quickly, dharma, he comes to the back to the spiritual standard. Prabhupada said it's not to be understood, not that it's an excuse that, well, I'm a devotee, so even if I do a little of this or a little of that or whatever it is, well, it's all for Krishna. It's not like that. It's not a stamp of approval for doing any kind of nonsense. That's offensive. That means I'm trying to use Krishna as my agent for covering my illegal activities. Someone's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he's thinking, this is very nice. I can do any kind of sinful activity, and then I can chant Hare Krishna, and all the karma will be washed away. So it's very, very nice religion. No. Krishna's not my tool for sense gratification. If one's sincerely chanting, and if there's some fall down, then Krishna will help him. But not that it's an excuse for being, what's the word, chronically sinful and justifying it. Oh, I'm a devotee, Krishna will understand. No. Therefore, here it's said that a real devotee, kshipram bhavati dharma, very quickly, he thinks, oh, what have I done? I was following spiritual discipline, I was following the spiritual path, and then now this, I've done this. And very quickly he regrets that. And because of that sincere regret, his heart is purified. Krishna helps him from within. Dadami buddhi yogam. Krishna gives spiritual intelligence. Yena maham upayanti. So that he, again, quickly comes to the standard. Because he's constitutionally a devotee of Krishna, and he's sincerely trying to serve, so Krishna sees, yes, he's my devotee. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna says, you're my devotee, I'll protect you. You'll never be wiped out. You'll never be finished. Krishna takes special care. And he asks Arjuna, You declare it. Someone may say, well, why don't you just declare it, Krishna? Why don't you just say, my devotees? Because someone may say, well, Krishna is very tricky. He sometimes breaks his promise. He promised the gopis, I'm coming back to Vrindavan in just a few days. He promised at Kurukshetra, I won't fight. And it seems that sometimes Krishna, for whatever reason, doesn't follow his promise. He makes some other program. So that someone may say, all right, Krishna's promising, but you don't trust him. So Krishna tells Arjuna, you promise. Because your word will be taken. You're an exalted person and a great devotee. You promise. When the devotee promises, then Krishna stands behind the devotee. Brahma promised Hiranyakashipu so many benedictions. So Krishna honored them. Yes, all right. Brahma, this Hiranyakashipu, wanted a benediction that I'll never be killed. So he worshipped Lord Brahma, the material creator of the universe, doing great austerities, penances. Finally, Brahma came. Yes, sir, what do you want? What can I do for you? And Hiranyakashipu, I want to be immortal. And Brahma said, even I'm not immortal. How can I give immortality to you? But Hiranyakashipu was intent. I want to be immortal. This is the sign of the mode of ignorance. The fools have desires that are impossible to fulfill. But still he's desiring. So he was very intelligent. He said, all right then, promise me that I won't be killed during the day. Yes, all right. Now promise me that I won't be killed during the night. All right. Promise me I won't be killed outside. All right. I won't be killed inside. All right. I won't be killed by any man. I won't be killed by any animal. I won't be killed by any demigod. I won't be killed by any weapon. In this way, he made so many conditions. So then he thought, anyway, my purpose is now assured, locked in. I can't be killed. Then he started creating havoc. So then, Krishna, what to do? This rascal has to be stopped, but I can't overturn the promises of my devotee. His word has to be honored. So then he came as Lord Nrisimhadev, not man, not demigod, not animal, half lion, half man. Something Hiranyakashipu could not have thought of. And he killed him not during the day, not during the night, just at dusk, neither day nor night. And not with any weapon, but with his nails. Not inside or outside, just on the veranda. So in this way, he accomplished his purpose, but without overstepping any of the promises made by Brahma, because Brahma is a devotee. So, Krishna tells Arjuna, you promise, you declare, your word will be taken as final. Name bhakta pranashati. The devotee is always protected by the Lord, even if he does some. Therefore, a devotee is never to be derided. Oh, he was supposed to be a devotee, and now look. No. And Krishna says, sadhureva samantavya. He has to be considered a saintly person. Oh, he did this, this. No. He's a devotee. He has to be considered saintly. And kshipram bhavati. Very quickly he'll come back to the standard. For the non-devotee, there is no standard. The standard is sense gratification. Or he has no good qualities. Or his good qualities aren't worth anything. It could change his mind tomorrow. It's just like that. Kangsa. He was so affectionate to his younger sister until he heard an announcement, a mystic voice, the son of this sister will kill you. Then he takes out his sword and he's ready to kill it. We see that in so many, it's an ordinary thing. You know, the brother and sister, they're affectionate to one another, they're lifelong kith and kin. Until the father dies and there's an inheritance. Then, you know, anything goes. Anything goes for sense gratification. So, haravapaktasya, manoratenasati, because the mind is not fixed in Krishna consciousness, it can go anywhere. There's nothing higher for him to come back to, because his highest idea is just let me enjoy. But the devotee's idea is let me serve Krishna. That's his purpose in life. So even if he deviates from that purpose, by Krishna's grace, he'll come back to the standard very quickly. And the devotee will never be lost. Krishna will always help him. Therefore, one should always be engaged in devotional service to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, any questions?
So, there's a verse that says Krishna reveals himself to whom he chose us. So how do we, can we say then, like this verse Krishna tells to Arjuna, you say it. So Sri Prabhupada tells us, even if you dedicate this much, you'll go back to Krishna. So can we say that Krishna now, in one sense, has to fulfill Sri Prabhupada's promise?
Yes, we may be products of Kali Yuga, we may be incompetent in so many ways. But if we stick to the service of Krishna and the bona fide spiritual master, then our deliverance is sure.
It seems quite like whom he chooses, but then
he chooses means he has his agents also. Just like some business, they have their agent, and the agent makes a deal, the company has to honor it. He's the man out in the field. The company honors his word. Something else?
Does Arjuna declare it?
Excuse me?
Does Arjuna declare it? When he said, did you declare it?
Oh yeah, it's assumed that Arjuna does declare it.
Just, I haven't...
Arjuna doesn't say, no, I'm not going to declare it.
So then, is it possible for, let's say a couple, my wife and I, we enjoy doing devotional service quite often, but we're relatively newcomers. We've only been in Krishna consciousness for a few months. And we've been very blessed to meet like three or four Maharajas. And it's been very wonderful working at the ashram here in town. So my question is, if my wife and I purposely stay engaged in devotional service, would we be able to deliberately and purposely stop the birth and death cycle and reach perfection when we leave this life?
You can't stop it, but Krishna can stop it. Who can stop death? Who can stop the cycle of birth and death? Who can get out of this material world? It's like a vast ocean, and we're just like swimming, trying to keep our heads above water in the midst of this big ocean. What can we do? But if someone comes and pulls us out, then it's done. So Krishna, when one takes to devotional service, then Krishna pulls us out of this material world. He assures. Bhavami nachirat parta maya veshita chetasam. I quickly rescue my devotee from the cycle of birth and death. You can be assured. Stick to the process and Krishna will save you.
Some religions feel like they have a guarantee. Sometimes I've been told that. But we have a guarantee, so it's okay for us to eat meat or whatever because I've been saved, so I've got a guarantee that I'm going to go to heaven. So
I've heard that paraphrased, that Jesus has died for our sins.
Yes.
So such a great sacrifice should not go in vain. He died for our sins, so he shouldn't die for nothing. I should commit sufficient sins.
In other words, if I become pure, there was no need for him to die. But is this kind of like a guarantee that it sounds like the devotee had? What's the fate of the devotee who says...
It's more difficult. It's not that Krishna says, Yesham tantukatam papam jananam punyakarmana te dvandvamoha nirmukta pajante mam jitakrita. Who can take very seriously the Krishna consciousness? Antukatam papam, the person who's put an end to all of his sinful activities. Therefore, at initiation, we require that one has to promise no gambling, no intoxicants, no meat eating, no illicit sex. Because these are the four pillars of sinful life. Any building, if you pull down the pillars, that's the end of the building. These are the pillars of sinful life. If these are pulled down, then sinful life comes to an end. So, antakatam papam, jananam punyakarma, and he's engaged in pious activities, spiritual activities. Te dvandvamoha nirmukta. He can be freed from duality and illusion. Bhajante mam jatapata, and take very seriously be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So if I'm negligent, then I make life difficult for myself. If I again take to sinful activities, it becomes an impediment to spiritual progress. All right, after some time, I may come back to the standard, but after so much trouble, one has to go through. Sinful life means causing trouble for oneself. Now I have to come back to the standard. So, and causing trouble for the spiritual master, the spiritual master has to endeavor to fish me out. So, one sincerely tries to stay to the right path, but somehow if some accidentally there's some fall down, somehow something happens. It's not that everything is lost. Again, he can come to the standard. But if he remains sinful, and then it's very, very difficult. Shipram Bhavati. One should regret. It's not that it's a license. Well, don't worry, do whatever you want, and Krishna will save you. We have a very nice program here. Not like that. Have your cake and eat it too. But if there's some discrepancy, still, that will be quickly corrected if one sincerely sticks to the process. Yes. Samyak vyavasita visa. If one is determined to be Krishna conscious, Krishna will help. Is that okay? What else?
Maharaj, from my background where I come from, in our families when we grow up, you know, we're worshipping different deities, and we're taught that this is our Sanatana Dharma. So could you briefly talk about, you know, what that real definition is? What is our
Sanatana means eternal. So we have to look and see whether I have, and dharma means my constitutional position, my natural function. So we have to look and see whether it's a fact that I have an eternal relationship with such and such deity. And the Krishna is Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitra, Paramam. He's the supreme personality of Godhead, Ishvara, Parama Krishna. Sanatanas Tvam Purusho Mato Me. He's Sanatana. He's the eternal Supreme Lord. Then other deities, they're not on the same level. Aham Adirhi Devanam. Krishna says, I'm the origin of all the devas. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, whatever is offered to the other Anya Devata is actually offered to me, but avidhi purvakam. Not in the right way, in the wrong way. Indirectly, it's offered to me. Just like if you put water on the leaves of the tree, indirectly you're watering the tree, but not the right way. The right way is to put the water on the root. Then it will be distributed. Or if I have to pay my taxes, I have to pay to the central treasury. Not that because I'm in the trucking business, I give something to the transportation minister. That's all right, I'm paying my taxes, but the wrong way. That's illegal. Vyepyanyata evita bhakta yajante shradhyanvita tepi maam eva kontya yajanti avidhi purvakam. He's doing very faithfully, worshipping some other devata, deity, but he's worshipping in the wrong way because he's not going to the root. The root of everything is Krishna. Maeva vihitani. Therefore Krishna says, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo dharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushankara. Bhagavatam gives a list of so many deities. If you want this, worship this deity. If you want learning, worship Saraswati. If you want a good husband, worship Lord Shiva. You want a good wife, worship Uma. You want good health, worship Surya. You want obstruction to obstacles, worship Ganesh. You want this, worship this. But whatever you want, if you have no desires, you have all desires, you desire liberation, best thing is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is intelligent, Udarati, very seriously, Tivrena, one should engage in his service, everything else will be taken care of. Yes?
I have a question. You had talked about being freed from the idea of duality.
Excuse me?
You had
freed from duality?
Yes, and I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit.
Could you speak a little louder? You want me to elaborate on that?
Yeah, elaborate on, yeah. On being freed from duality.
There are so many dualities which come from our forgetfulness of Krishna. Bhayam dutiya vinideshita. Right, first duality is that I have a different purpose from God's purpose. God has one program, and I have a different program. Sanatana Dharma means that I participate in his program. But I make a different program. So that's duality. Just like in your family. If your father and mother want one thing, and you say, no, I'm going to do something else. That creates duality. That creates duality. There should be oneness, harmony. But no, I'm going to do something different. Then there's duality. So there should be oneness of purpose. But Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja Mamekam Sharanam. Just surrender to me, engage in my service. Manmana Bhavapad Madbhakta Madhyabhi. Think of me, worship me, serve me. So if we agree, yes, Kardashe Vachanam Tava, I'll serve you, I'll think of you, I'll chant your holy, then there's oneness. But if we make another program, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm my own man. Why do I have to bow down to anyone else? I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Then that creates duality. Advaita. Krishna is one without a second. But if we introduce some second, no, why God? What about Ganesh? What about Surya? What about that creates duality. Or especially, what about me? Separate program. And then from that duality, so many other dualities come. I come to this material world, then there's a difference between myself and my body. Between matter and spirit. Between I like this, I don't like that. Between so many, the whole world becomes a world of dualities. But the basis of that duality is that I'm disconnected from the Supreme One, from Krishna. And now there's duality. Is that okay?
Yes. How can you successfully serve your dharma through like material services, like if your dharma is connected to something that brings you back into the material world, how could you better serve Krishna?
If you have some dharma that connects you to the material world, how can you serve Krishna? Yes. One has to be properly guided by the bona fide spiritual master. Then one will learn the art of engaging even material activities in Krishna's service. The example is given of milk and yogurt. If you drink too much milk, you'll have stomach problems. Right? You drink a glass, two glasses, three glasses. If you take 10 glasses, or you... People may not drink that all that much milk, but they'll turn it into sweets and eat, you know, one after another. So all these nice Indian sweets made of milk, rasgullas and sandesh and rasmalai and so on. Or what can rubbery? So if one takes too much milk, then you can get stomach problems. But what's the cure for those stomach problems? Yogurt. Yogurt will calm the system and everything will be all right. Someone says, well, yogurt is just milk. Milk's the cause of the problem. But the same milk, when it's turned into yogurt, cures the same problem. So the same work, which is causing us material bondage, which is getting us materially entangled, becomes the source of liberation when it's done for Krishna. Whatever Arjuna is fighting, but he's fighting for Krishna. Fighting is sinful, killing people. But when he's fighting for Krishna, it's spiritual activity. It's not material activity. So anything. Someone is a teacher, someone is a military man, someone's a farmer, someone's taxi cab driver, someone's this, someone's that. Just has to learn the art of engaging everything in Krishna's service. That means that he's not doing it just for his own sense gratification. I'll get some money and I'll enjoy. He's advised that you don't keep that money. You use that money, give that money to Krishna. You take just what you need. Don't take more. Take as much as you need, and the rest you engage for Krishna's service, give to the devotees, give to the Lord. And even the part that you keep, use that in such a way that your home is Krishna conscious, everything Krishna conscious. So this is bhakti yoga. It requires some training, but it's practical. Is that okay? Something else? Otherwise people, they want to enjoy and then they give some lip service. Give a little token for Krishna's service and then everything. Krishna's not a fool. Someone said he sees what you're keeping. Not just that you're giving, what you're keeping he sees also. The main thing is that one has to be very serious and sincere. It's not just a show. It's not just a show. Arjuna is not thinking, well, all right, I'll fight this war, and then I'll just go to the temple and do a few rituals and everything will be all right. Heart and soul, he was engaged in the service of Krishna. So in that way, then one is pure. Is that okay? Something else?
Along those lines of performing one's duty, a student asked me the other day, because I was explaining how even in Dwarka, there were prostitutes who went to see Krishna. I said, what? What are you talking? So then, trying to justify, so that means I can be a drug dealer and be a devotee, or I can be this and be a devotee. What response?
You can be anything. But it's unfortunate. Someone's stuck in a, whatever occupation. But if he's a sincere devotee, then actually he's an honest person. Better than the person who can say, I never touched a dime that didn't belong to me. I always, in my business, we never cut down a tree, we never exploited a worker, we never, totally ethical business. But then the profits are all for sense gratification. You're a thief. And the devotee, even if he may be in some business which is not very good, but because he's sincerely trying to serve Krishna, Krishna sees, well, he's my devotee. It doesn't mean that we just do any damn thing. As far as possible, we try to keep our occupation consistent with spiritual principles. But somehow, if one is stuck in a job where he can't get out, and this is, then all right. Still, he's trying to serve Krishna. Every job, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, every job has some fault in it. Whatever job you have. If you're an intellectual, then somehow you get involved in advising people who are crooked. If you're a king, then somehow sometimes you have to make decisions where somebody has to lose out. If you're in business, business means cheating. Practically without cheating, it's very difficult to stay in business. At some point, one has to do something which is not very straightforward. If one is an assistant, sometimes he has to assist someone who doesn't deal with a straight deck. What can be done? There's so many people working, and they know that my company is not a very honorable company. But still, he has to work. What can be done?
Right, along the same lines of occupation, sometimes in the working world, we feel like we're being manipulated by the people who work
around us. Of
course
you're being manipulated.
Then the propensity is that if that person is doing this to me, I should also do that. Because that's the way of, you know, survival of the kind of fitness and the work environment.
Yes, from one point of view, and work means everybody's trying to get some advantage. So if I'm going to be in work, then I also have to try to get some advantage. That's business. Not that I have to go to work and live like a priest. If you're a priest, then you have to behave like a priest. If you're in business, then you have to act like a businessman.
Does that mean we tolerate Maharaj?
Krishna says every work is covered by some fault. You can't avoid it. We think, no, I'm not going to work for Dell. They're a crooked company. Then you go back to work for IBM. They're also crooked. Who's not crooked? Say, well, I'm not going to work in IT anymore. I'm going to do something else. That will have something. You'll find out what's crooked there also. Even if you work for charity, you'll find that the charities have to do something crooked. There's nothing clean in the material world. Everything's got some dirt associated with it. If I look for a totally clean occupation, I won't work until I find a totally clean occupation. You'll die. You'll starve. There's nothing in the world. It's not the clean world. Every occupation has some fault connected to it. But Krishna says, don't waste your time trying to find the perfect occupation. Whatever your occupation is, do that, but change your consciousness. Don't do it on your own account, do it on my account. Then you'll get free from this material world, then you'll have the perfect occupation. Go back to God and serve Krishna. Anything else? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just have a quick question. Sometimes you have a relationship with your spiritual master, and it seems that from externally, it seems like from his behavior, sometimes you feel that he's not happy with you.
He's not happy with us.
Yeah. So how do we not make judgment but keep serving in the same way?
If he's not happy with us, then we should think. And
is there anything wrong, but it's not communicated? You just feel like that from your heart.
That's good. We should always think that we're inadequate. If we think, I'm such a good disciple, my spiritual master thinks the world of me because I'm the best, then you'll really be in trouble. If you think, I'm what am I doing? Spiritual master must not be very happy with me. I'm hardly doing any service. That's good. Then you'll think, I have to do more, I have to do better.
Yeah, but at the same time, we don't want to offend him in certain ways.
Therefore, we should think. I have to be very careful. Probably I'm committing offenses. I should not do that. Just like suppose, you know, if someone's in the presence of the king, And he'll be very careful that, and the king is very grave. You can't tell, just like Brahma, sometimes he's praying to Krishna, and he can't tell, is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna displeased? After he stole the cows and coward boys, Brahma apologized and he offered prayers, and so Krishna was so grave, Brahma couldn't tell, is Krishna pleased? Is he not pleased? And he just thought, you know, I'd better not stay in Vrindavan because I'm not qualified. So it's good to take the humble position, to think that after all, I'm not doing very much service. Why should he be pleased with me? What am I doing? So that one will want to improve. That's good. Or Prabhupada expressed that one should always feel himself a fool before the spiritual master. That's good. Not that the spiritual master always has to pat us on the back. Oh, you're so nice, you're doing such nice service. You're such a good boy. My godbrother Guru Kripa Prabhu was one of the big contributors to the building the Vrindavan temple. Prabhupada, one of his main missions was to establish a temple in Vrindavan. And it required serious money. And one of the biggest fundraisers was Guru Kripa Prabhu. And he tells that one time he came to Vrindavan and he came to Prabhupada's room and he gave a big check. And Prabhupada practically didn't even notice it. You know, he didn't say, oh, Guru Kripa, you're so nice, you brought such a big contribution, you're such a good disciple. Prabhupada didn't say anything.
And then he gave him
a hard time for, what was it?
Why are you sleeping?
For sleeping too much. Prabhupada called him up and called for him in the middle of the night. So then he, you know, woke up and came down to Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada offered obeisances. Prabhupada said, where were you? He said, well, I was sleeping, Srila Prabhupada. Why were you sleeping? Well, Srila Prabhupada, I'm not a pure devotee like you. I sometimes have to sleep. Why are you not a pure devotee? You know, whatever Guru Kripa said to him, just jumped on him. It finally reduced Guru Kripa to tears, which is like reducing Mount Meru to an anthill. Guru Kripa is like one of the toughest guys you can imagine. Really, you're built out of, you know, strong stuff. Nobody breaks down Guru Kripa. But that's, you know, spiritual master is not a stereotype. You know, you get these stereotypical pictures. He's like his whole business is just to bless everyone and smile everyone and compliment everyone and say how nice everyone is, so that they'll keep giving him money and chanting his praises. The real spiritual master is not like that. He's not the pet of the disciple. For the disciple to, no. He may sometimes express pleasure, he may sometimes express displeasure, he may sometimes not express anything. But our business is to serve him, just like Krishna. He may kick us or he may embrace us. We'll serve him whatever he does. Is that all right? Spiritual master is Krishna's representative. Right, shall we stop here? Okay. Thank you all very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta bhakta vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande.